My father has been gone 33 years. It's hard to imagine. So many years have passed so quickly. But I remember his voice so distinctively. He had a voice that came out of rural Arkansas, and it had a little something to it that always caused you to realize that there was some challenges. Whenever he would say it a certain way, or he would inflect his voice a certain way, and I can recall so distinctively his voice when he would speak, and he would, especially when I was getting ready to be disciplined, a certain way his voice would come across. I'll never forget, I was 16 years old when I had my first good car, the 1970 Boss Mustang. That car could move. It was an unbelievable machine. And I'll never forget, because at least five or six girls would go to lunch with me every day just to ride in that car, because it would move 100 miles an hour that fast. And I would do it 100 miles an hour. And I'll never forget, one day I was doing my normal routine of driving too fast, and I was driving through my neighborhood. And my neighborhood, where I lived at, was a street that was about a half a mile long, and there was no curves or anything. So there was no reason to slow down, because, you know, there was nothing that could cause you to hesitate. And I was zipping down my neighborhood, and you know, I don't know if you ever had this happen, but I looked at the speedometer just for a moment and realized that if my dad actually saw this, I would be in big trouble. He happened to be out in the yard. And as I pulled up in the driveway, of course, I saw him at a distance. And as I pulled up in the driveway, his voice was that one I didn't like to hear. He said, "You know, I really think you've been going to church some now, and I'm sure you, when you go to church, you pray." I said, "Well, yes, Dad, I do, you know. I was trying to act like a saint." And he said, "Well, here's what I want you to pray about that car. Because I just watched you drive through the neighborhood." He said, "I'm not sure you're old enough to have a car that goes that fast." Well, you can imagine his voice. I could distinguish it among any other voice. And I said to him, "Dad, you know what? I'll never drive that fast again." And he was looking at me like, "I know better." Well, he said, "I'm going to give you 3 days to pray about it." Well, I thought, boy, that is great, because this prayer's already been answered. I mean, you ever have some prayers you don't have to really pray? Like, "Lord, do you want me to keep this car?" "Yes! I want this car." 2 days later, not three, 2 days later, I pulled up to my house in my green 70 Boss Mustang. There was sitting in the driveway another type of car that also had a horse name. Yes, that's right, the Pinto. I don't know if you realize how humiliating it was that I drive up and my dad looks at me and said, "Well, how did your prayers work out?" I said, "Well, I have one more day." He said, "Well, I actually took action on your prayers and handed me the key to that Pinto." And I can honestly say that at that very moment, not only did I know his voice, but I was about to extinguish it, because I could have killed him in that moment, that he took away my car. And I can honestly say to you that not many girls ever rode with me again, because that Pinto would only do 50 going downhill if you had a real steep slope. You know what's amazing, though? That voice was distinguishable like no other. My dad took that car, put it on the restaurant parking lot of my mom's restaurant, sold it to a friend of mine. His mom took all the money she had in her 401k to buy that car. The very first weekend that he had it, he wrapped it around a pole. Ended up with brain damage. Ended up never being able to function like God intended for his life. You see, I didn't like that voice my father conveyed, but it was my father's voice, and I had to follow it. And sometimes what happens to us is we need to come to the place where we get back to distinguishing his voice in our lives. And I'm not talking about our earthly father. I'm talking about our godly father, Father in heaven, who speaks to us in a still small voice. And part of the challenge you run into is distinguishing his voice is not always easy. Because oftentimes, when we're in the middle of something that's very strategic, we hear a lot of chatter that doesn't come from God. You heard it a moment ago in a testimony. It was Travis. If you were not listening carefully, you would have missed it. He made a statement about what his belief and what his faith was, about what God had said to him about Asher, what God would do. And you see, the reality is, we have to listen carefully, because I can tell you what, if Travis and Heidi listened only to the chatter of doctors, or the chatter of what the internet says about particular syndromes or things like that, well, it would drown out the still small voice that says, I can do the impossible if you trust me. And so today we look at what happens when God's voice very carefully says, you can't go there, but you can go here. And it really, really causes us to think about our own lives. And I want you to think about in your own journey, how do you distinguish the voices that you know best? When your mom calls on the phone, do you know that voice, don't you? When somebody you love calls on the phone, you know that voice. And there's ways you distinguish it. My mother called me yesterday and she said, I just wanted to hear your voice. I've been trying to text you. And I keep texting you, 401-404. Well, my number is 404-401. And she said, I keep getting messages back from this guy who says, who are you? Well, the reality is, I'm not talking to you. And he keeps texting back, well, who are you? And she can't get that phone to work just right. But she wanted to hear a voice of her son. She didn't need anything, didn't want anything. But it was very distinguishable. You see, my mother grew up in the country of Arkansas as well. She says real funny words that we, whenever we say them, we get tickled by them. But those words are precious because it's her distinctive voice that stands out to us. And yet the reality is that if we're not careful, the voice of the one who actually was everything about our very existence, who knew us before we ever formed our mother's womb, the one who speaks to who we are, we'll miss that voice and miss what it is that God's saying to us. And if we do that, we get in trouble. Because the reality is, have you ever heard a voice that you thought it was someone, but it ended up being someone else? You thought that it was so distinguishable. You thought, that's exactly who it is. Have you ever missed God, for example? I mean, you thought he said to you, do such and such, but it wasn't that at all. And as a result, you ended up finding yourself in trouble. Just a couple weeks ago, I was walking around with my granddaughter at a restaurant, and I was walking by, these two ladies are sitting at this table. And as I walked by, the lady said, I know you. I know you. I'm sitting there thinking, that's interesting. I've never seen you in my life. And finally, I said, well, she said, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor. She looked at me and she said, I don't know you. And see, that was the end of the whole conversation. I'm like, and how could you go from knowing me completely to not knowing me at all? And I thought to myself, sometimes we think we hear a voice, but it's not the voice that can direct us to where God wants us to be. It's someone else. Have you ever listened to someone else's advice more than God's? Someone else who said, hey, you ought to do that. Have you ever noticed that everybody has advice about everything? You ought to do this, you ought to do that. And listen carefully. Not everyone intends to guide you the wrong way, but the one who knows you best is the one who created you. And so it makes perfect sense to be wise enough to follow his call and his direction. I think back about how many things in life I would have absolutely made the biggest mistake I could have ever made had I listened to someone else's advice. But instead I listened to God's voice speak to me. I'll never forget when our son made an unwise choice to go off into making unbelievably unwise decisions. I'll never forget what people said to me. Everyone said, you should do this, you should do that. I got a text from that little boy today. And in that text, he said, you will never know all the ways you have blessed my life. And as I got that text at 7:30 this morning, you know what my first thought was? I could have ruined his life. I could have acted like holier than thou and ended up judging my son instead of loving him and he would have never come home. He probably would have been into eternity. And you see, the reality is we've got to be wise enough to hear the right voice. Because here's what you discover. His call on our lives is obvious. Distinguishing his voice is challenging. Because the reality is when we hear God call us into a relationship with him, we hear it so vividly. This week we had Bible school at our church, and Courtney and our team did a fabulous job. 30 more children in our building than on last year's Bible school. And you know, it's interesting, these kiddos. Listen, the world may bombard them with all kinds of things, but when you bring it back to Jesus, he supersedes everything. And I sat there watching all these kids come in with joy. And every one of them, I thought, Lord, may they hear his voice. May they hear the call that God places on their life to come to know him at a very early age. You see, the call that God puts in our life is very obvious. When God speaks to our hearts and we come into a relationship with him, you can't second guess it. You can't ponder it. He changes your life forever. But when you start trying to discern his voice, sometimes it's very challenging. And today we look at what happens, really, when all of a sudden, Paul gets stopped in his tracks. He wants to go a particular way, and he thinks it's going to be the best deal. But the reality is it's the direct opposite of what God intends. And I want to ask you, as we get ready to look at Acts chapter 16, if you have your Bible, open that text, because when you get to 6 verses, you're getting ready to head out into a missionary journey. But I want to ask you a question as we look at today. Have you ever been stopped in your tracks? Have you ever set out in a particular direction and you didn't even know why God stopped you? And he stopped you for a reason. He had an intent and purpose that superseded what you wanted, what you were trying to pursue. It's amazing how often God will stop us in our tracks. But when it comes to God's purpose, it's even more profound, because if we miss his purpose, watch this, we miss his plan. And if we miss his plan, we don't experience the power of living effectively the way God intended. And so today I want us to look at what happens, because you'll notice as we read this text that they wanted to go a particular way. Now, as we come to the 16th chapter, you'll discover there are 4 men there. There are 4 men that actually, by the time you get to verse 10 where Luke makes a reference, we, you have Paul and Silas, you have Timothy, and now you have Luke. And I want us to begin reading this, and what I want you to do is I want you to see a few things, because oftentimes when we come to a moment like Father's Day, you can hear all kinds of admonishments about ways that men fail and ways that men don't succeed. And reality is, when you look at this text, it's a direct opposite focus. Because here's the story of 4 men whose success absolutely hinged on the very powerful things that God could do in and through them. And so I want you to listen carefully as we look at it. We begin reading, though, as they come into this area, Phrygian and Galatian region. Verse 6, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Now stop right there and realize something. Here's the first time the voice says, you are not going to do that. And here's what I want you to see. Closed doors always open new opportunities. So if God stops you in a particular spot, there's a reason. There is a reason that he stops you. Look on, though. Notice what happened. Verse 7. And they came to Mysia, and they were trying to go into Bithynia. And watch this. And the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. Now stop again and realize something. Here's what's the Bible say? The Bible says that they could not go where they wanted to go because God had something better in mind for them. So you don't second guess what it is God has for you. You instead look at it and say, you know what? This is what I want to experience. The very best, the center of his will. Look on, though. Notice what happens. Verse 8, and passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So putting out to sea from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and on the day following to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony, and we were staying in this city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. And a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay." And they prevailed upon us. Now, I want you to kind of capture this. If you're here today, capture a little bit of what was transpiring. Because I want you to see this, especially men, I want you to see this. Because I want you to see two or three things that are vital. What you see, first of all, they didn't have to have the answer. They just needed to acknowledge who the answer was. And so what happens oftentimes is we get in our minds that as men and as fathers, we got to have the answer to everything. The truth is you don't. And all of a sudden, they're in a mission assignment that is changing the way that they're going to live out their lives. Because what are they hearing now? They're now hearing a voice that says, you can't go that way, but you can go this way. And they're having to distinguish that. And you know the truth of the matter is, if we hear that, here's what we discover. We don't have to get hung up thinking, man, I got to have this answer and that answer and that answer. Have you been around somebody that always thinks they have the answer? What does it do to your spirit? You go, well, how could they get all those answers? How come they got it all figured out? And I'm going to tell you the reality is, we don't have it figured out. And Paul, I mean, here's Paul, this great, gifted orator. He thought he was supposed to go to Asia. But what does God do? Nope. What does Jesus say? Nope. You're going to go this way. But not only that, though, when you look at it, you realize something. What God did was God affirmed his purpose for their life by allowing them to stop in one place and go another way. And I want you just to understand how important it is that we understand that God has a plan to affirm men who pursue him, who seek him, who follow him. It's an amazing affirmation because there's nothing like knowing that God's with you. That is a very clear plan for your life. And that affirmation, think about it. You don't have to have the answer, but you can be affirmed in who you are in Christ. I tell you what, it takes a big load off of you and causes you to instead let the Lord bear the load. Not only that, though, when you look at this particular passage, you think about it. Luke records that they were living authentically because they were willing to go a different way because God was telling them that authenticity, what does authenticity do? It opens up transparency, which allows us to say, you know what? I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do, but I know I can trust the Lord. I know he can guide me. And so when you look at this passage, here's what you discover very quickly, that there are two very powerful lessons that come out of this text that I want us to take out of here when we think about distinguishing his voice. Because the reality is, that still small voice may be getting ready to give you some very clear instructions about something very vital. If you hear it and distinguish it, you'll know which way to go. You'll know what to do. But if you allow the chatter of the world to get in there and mess up the message that God has for you, you might miss it completely. So let's see these two things. The first thing I want you to see that's very, very vital, and that is his distinctive voice. When you look at this, it led to action. And our theme for this whole series is moving, putting your faith into action. What happens? They get two different moments where the Lord says, no, no, you're not going there. But the Bible says immediately they began to act on what it was that God had for them. And that immediate action came out of discerning that decisive voice. That's why you had to be careful not to operate in a world of feelings when you're trying to discern what it is he has for you. Because your feelings may mislead you. Your feelings may make you feel like, well, I just feel so good about that. And the reality is, it may not be, you don't need to feel good about something. You need to feel obedient about something. You need to feel holy about something. See what it is God's saying to you. And so here it is, this voice is very distinctive. And I want you to kind of see it as we look at it, because there's something powerful that comes out of it for each one of us. Not only did they have an immediate response, which one of the things I like about that is as soon as they knew what they're supposed to do, they did it. I want to ask you, when God tells you something to do, how long does it take for you to actually act on it? Do you ever hesitate when the Lord really tells you specifically something to do? My wife and I were eating dinner Friday night at a restaurant, and one of the things I really admire is young people who work hard. I don't know if you're, I mean, I'm at the age where I like people to step up. And if they step up, I want to bless them. If they don't step up, I'll still bless them, but not to the degree I would if they're stepping up. So I got to talking to this young lady. I said, "What's your name?" "Well, my name's..." "Tell me your name." "I'm not going to tell her name. She may show up at church some Sunday." But the and then you walk up to her. "I heard about you." Now, the truth is, her name was not the relevant thing. The relevant thing was, I said, "How old are you?" Told me her age. And I said, "You work hard, don't you?" She said, "I work really hard." She said, "I work my something off." Okay, so you can imagine. You put the word in there. She said, "I work hard." I said, "Really? Man, that's encouraging." So she waited on us, you know, and kept her glass full and everything. It was real sweet. At the end, she brought the check, and it totaled $30.10. So I took the check, and I just drew a line through the tip and put down $30.10. And so she walked up, and I said, "Well, here, I wanted to settle this check with you." And I gave her back the check, and I said, "I didn't put anything on that line right there at all." She said, "That's fine, that's fine." I'm sitting there thinking, now, this is a really mature 21-year-old kid. And I looked at her and I said, "But the reason I am not giving you that tip that normally someone put on there is I want you to have $20 and realize you're much more valuable than just a regular tip." Well, you should have seen her. She beelined her manager and opened that thing up. "Look what happened, just happened." You know, and as I was going through it, one of the things I realized was I was listening to the Lord say, "You know what, bless somebody, encourage someone." And you know what I could have said? "I'd like to hang on to my $20 bill. And I wouldn't have had an immediate response at all. But I knew it'd be better in her hands with me being obedient than to miss that. Not only did they have an immediate response, but you also realize that God had a very specific place of service. I mean, there was something that God had specifically identified for them to do. It wasn't a place that there was just a happenstance. It was very specific. I want you to imagine for a second that you find yourself at a very specific place where God has called you to do a very specific assignment. And you've got to be willing to yield to that. See, you got to realize, what did Paul want to do? Paul wanted to go in on a route that would actually bring him to where he wanted to be. And what did God do? God said, "Oh, no. You're going to go some other places. You're going to open this gospel up. You're going to go to Philippi. You're going to go to these places." And as a result, something powerful happened. And here's what I want you to see. When you're listening to his voice and you take decisive action on his very clear voice, what transpires is you move to a place where wherever that assignment is God has for you, you will get there. And you'll experience something you could not any other way. Happened to me. You may oftentimes wonder what transpired that causes me to have such a passion for missions. Well, the reality is one voice was from a man who has been in heaven a long time now. But he would come to my office oftentimes, and he would say to me, "It's not enough just to see it or to talk about it. You got to see it. You can't just talk about it." And I'll never forget that voice still rings in my mind whenever I land on a foreign soil. It's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to see it. And what Ken Whaley said to my heart was, his voice, and anyways, his voice I can still hear today. It was never loud, never boisterous, but very distinctive. And he had a heart for the world. And the reality is that a lot of what we do now probably would have never transpired had Ken Whaley not crossed paths with my heart and life and caused me to be so clearly called to action. And you see, here's what happens to Paul. Paul, he hears a voice say to him, "You can't do that." Which, by the way, when God says no, should you stop where you're at and not do that? Correct. What do we do sometimes, though? We reason with God, don't we? We say, "Well, you know, I really ought to be able to do such. Look at me. I've been working hard. And I mean, why don't I deserve that brand new car? I've been working hard. I don't have the money for it, but you'll provide." And all of a sudden you're reasoning. You're reasoning it all out, and it's not God's best for you. They took immediate action. God had a place of service for them. And Philippi is where they ended up at. It's amazing. All the places they had to go through to get to Philippi. Don't you know, and a couple times he probably thought, well, why don't we stop here? This looks like a really nice place. I mean, they got a Holiday Inn here. Let's hang out here for a while. No. You keep moving because you're going to the Budget Inn. You're going down there where I can really work in your life and transform you. But not only did you see them take this action, but you'll notice that they, in verse 10, it says, we sought to go into Macedonia. Watch this. Concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. I want you to not miss this, because here's what you discover. There was a clear message of hope that God had placed on their heart to take to somebody. And we live in a day and time where we must be wise enough to convey hope to people. Because what does Jesus do for us? He gives us hope. He's the blessed hope. And that's why Romans says hope does not disappoint. It does something for someone. And what I want you to see today very clearly is that his distinctive voice speaks to all of our lives. As dads, it speaks to our hearts. If you're here and your dad, you've heard his voice many times direct you in particular ways. And when you hear that voice, you realize, I need to make sure I give hope. I'll never forget the moment that I took away the message of hope and sent a message of hopelessness to two of my children. My kids were in Little Rock and they were young and they were in a private school and they had to wear certain clothes, they had to look a certain way, and I'll never forget. My son would typically forget at least one thing each day, and one day he forgot his belt, even though I said to him, Caleb, you got your belt? Oh yeah, I got it. And we drove to school that day, and as we were driving, I began to take away the hope that rested inside of me and berate that little guy. Well, my daughter and my daughter's friend were in the car too. And I can remember so vividly realizing that I was conveying a message that you can't get it and you're never going to get it and it's a hopeless situation. Well, I dropped those kids off for school, told them to get out of the car. I was driving to the church, largest church in that town. Had a wonderful position there. I was driving to the church and it's like the Lord said, you're not going to that church. You go back and you apologize to your children. You tell them you're sorry. Sorry she did that. Well, my daughter thought someone had died and we pulled her out of class. So she was the more responsible of the children. She always had her belt on. And so she came out, I called her out of class and I had to apologize not only to her but her friend, Michelle. And then I went and got my son out of the grade school section of the building. And I'll never forget the tears in his eyes as he realized that his dad wasn't perfect, but his dad could be a messenger of hope. And it changed him. And you see this morning, the text message rolling off his phone to me, the message that connects to hope, could have all been ruined by a simple, hopeless moment that was absolutely ridiculous. And you see, what I want to encourage you guys to realize is, we don't always get it right, but one thing about it, we've been called with a great opportunity. And all of you, as God's children, have the opportunity to listen to his distinctive voice. But I want to show you one other thing as we finish this together, and that is, you got to see what happens to Lydia. Because this whole message is about hearing a voice that distinctively takes us to a particular place, and when it gets us there, we get to watch what happens. In fact, the second thing I want you just to see is this: the amazing impact of their simple obedience. I mean, you can't miss this. Because what happens is they obey and God does something amazing. Here's what transpires. Lydia, the Bible says she was a worshiper of God, which meant not that she knew Jesus, not that she had a right relationship with Jesus, but she realized that idol worship and other things, pagan worship, was not the answer. She came into that circle as a worshiper. In fact, when you look at it, you realize what she really came into that circle to do was searching for answers. What is the answer? But you'll notice that she had a distinctive quality. In fact, this quality was that she listened. She listened. Look at it, if you would, because what happens here in verse 14? She was a worshiper of God, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart. Listening. And what you discover is, it's not easy to be committed to listening, but that's how we hear his voice. Not ever easy. I'll bet you in this room there are several of you that have electronic technology that causes you at times to hear, not hear someone else's voice. Happened to me this morning. I was getting ready for church. Cindy was getting ready, and she started talking, and a text message blows through from a very important message about something I need to make sure I don't forget. And it comes across, and right in the middle of me reading it, Cindy says, "Are you listening?" Well, I wasn't hearing a word she said at all. And I said, "Well, no, I wasn't listening." She said, "Put that phone down and listen to me." And she told me whatever she needed to tell me. And I realized that that moment, I wasn't committed to listening. I was committed to making sure things got taken care of. And I want to say to you clearly, Chester is at fault for this whole thing. Because he texted me at that critical moment when I could have been listening to what Cindy was saying. Now, the reality is we all get messages coming at us all the time, don't we? And we got to be careful to be committed to listen. Because what the Bible says is because she listened, she opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. She experienced saving grace. That's what she experienced. She was baptized. God changed her life. And what I want you to see today as we bring together our thoughts on this day in which we not only celebrate all the fathers that we have and that have been blessed by and a relationship to them, we come to a higher point of understanding, and that is that if we distinguish his voice and if we obey, I'm going to tell you what happens. We start moving in a direction. See, we don't always know what it is God has for us, but we do know that it's something good. It's something powerful, something amazing. And so today I want to ask you, when's the last time you just heard his voice? We just said to you, "Hey, I want you to do this. I want you to listen to this and be willing to read and yield to what it is I'm saying to you." You see, oftentimes we only want to hear him when we're going through a problem. But the truth of the matter is, when we ought to hear him and when we want to hear him, should be every moment we breathe saying, "Lord, speak to me. Speak to my heart and let me hear from you." And my encouragement today, as you think about your own life, if you're a dad here today, I just encourage you, don't let what has been get in the way of who you can be. Don't be overwhelmed and paralyzed by someone else's perspective. Just be the man God made you to be. You know what's amazing? You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect at all. All you got to do is be humble enough to say, "Lord, speak to me and help me be who I'm supposed to be." You see, I grew up in a home. I had no idea what it meant to be a dad, how to be a dad. And what I did was I just took that model, and instead of being angry about it and upset about it and spending my whole life mad about it, I instead said, "You know what? This is what I could do. I could follow these steps, these simple things. I could love unconditionally. I could center my heart in grace. I could obey his voice. My children would see me obeying him, would speak to their lives." And so my encouragement today is you may be hearing his voice. And you notice that when Lydia showed up, the Bible says she was a worshiper of God. I mean, she was looking for an answer. And I want to say to you that every single Sunday, with few exceptions, someone will come into our building looking for the answer. And you see what the Bible says is Lydia found the answer in Jesus. And that's our entire message, that Jesus is the answer. And if you're here today and you've never given your heart to him, I'd like to encourage you to experience him today. If you're here and you need to become a part of our fellowship, I want to invite you to join our church. Whatever it is you hear God saying to you, he has something amazing planned for your life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the amazing voice that speaks to every step of our journey. Thank you for the example of Lydia who, in obedience, experienced you. Help us, Lord, to in obedience respond to your call in our lives and guide us or speak to us in an amazing way today. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.